Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, and probably a familiar passage to you, but we're going to begin reading in John chapter 1, verse 1, and read down through verse 13 of this chapter of the Gospel of John. And we find these words, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. Ending our reading at verse 13. Father, we are so grateful for this time that we can open your word, that we have sung praises to you. We have many reasons to lift you up. We have many reasons to praise you. Lord, and out of a heart that is overflowing with gratitude, we worship. And Father, it's not what we think worship is, but God, what is your way of worship? And God, that you are looking for true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, we just invite you into our midst by way of the Holy Spirit, that he would help me to share, declare the heart, your heart this morning. Give us ears to hear what you would say to us, and we'll give you the praise and the honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to take a look at this idea, finish up, the God who was, still is. And we've been taking a look at four different areas of that, and we talked about the waymaker, we talked about the miracle worker, we talked about the promise keeper, and today we want to look into this idea of light in the darkness. And we, as believers of Jesus Christ today, know that these are truths for us today. These are not just some historical story, but they are relevant for us today. As God was a waymaker in Scripture, God is still a waymaker today. That God was a miracle worker back then. We read throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, of the mighty works, the mighty deeds that God did, the things that God performed. And God is still doing great and mighty things today. And we may not see them a lot, and we may not hear about them, but God is still working. And we have to believe that. God is still working in you. God is still working in me. God is still working on us. And he wants to have that privilege of working through us. That he is the potter and we are the clay, and he's molding and he's shaping us into that image of God. That we reflect him in what we say and what we do. And God, it is a promise keeper. That we know that God takes his word seriously. The promises that he made, God takes very seriously. God also takes very serious the promises that we and commitments that we make back to him. The Bible says that I'd rather you not make a vow than to make one and keep it. In other words, don't make a promise to me that you can't keep. Let's not make promises to people that we don't intend to keep. But if you make someone a promise, be intentional and keep that promise, whatever it may be. And then now we have this idea of light in the darkness. But I'm not sure, I don't know about any of you or all of you, but probably one of the first things that I do when I go into a dark room is what? Throw the light switch on. And I'm amazed at some of these TV programs that people go into these dark rooms and they're looking for somebody or something, when I'm just saying, why don't you just turn the light on? And it's, make it simple. Turn the light on. I know we used to go into Myrtle, when we started going down to Myrtle Beach, we used to take a nightlight along and we would plug it in. Sometimes we would forget it, but we would take it along and plug it in case we had to get up during the night for whatever reason. But there were times where we forgot it or whatever. And we'd get up during the night. I'd get up during the night. And what was the first thing that I would do? Bang my leg on something. Or I'd hit my toe, stub my toe. And then I would do that stupid thing. I would grab my foot and bounce around on one leg. Like, you know, and then I would begin talking to myself. Anybody ever do that? Nobody ever talk to themselves? Amen. The problem is when you start to answer. But we find this thing that functioning in the dark is hard to do. And as we know that we can maneuver life a lot easier when we have light. And that is true in the natural realm, but it's also true in the spiritual realm. If we go back into Genesis chapter 1, we find the creation story, and that we know that the first couple verses of Genesis chapter 1 says that in the beginning God created. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I believe that the Spirit of God, I have this mind's picture, and you may disagree, and you might have your own opinion, and that's fine. But I have this mind's picture of the Holy Spirit just hovering and waiting for a word, a command from God, let there be, and there was. And as I think about that, I think about Jesus on the cross. And the Bible says that he could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. And in my mind's eye, in a picture I have in my mind, that I can see heaven, the angels of heaven standing at attention, waiting for Jesus to say, help or come. And they would be there. But he never said it, and they never responded. But the Spirit of God, it says, was hovering over the waters. And then God spoke and he said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light and it was good. And then God separated the light from the darkness. The light he called day, the darkness he called night. And we look at that and we see that darkness, dark, is a natural thing. And it can be a good thing. But we also look, when you look at it through the spectrum of a spiritual darkness, it's not a good thing. Because our enemy, our adversary, wants to keep us in spiritual darkness. And we think of this darkness as in the natural is the absence of light. But in the spiritual realm, it is the lack of understanding or knowledge. a lack of clear understanding or what is scripture, what is a particular verse, passage, chapter, what is it, what is the definition, or what is it trying to tell me? What is it trying to show me? We lack understanding. We lack clarity. If we go back into the Old Testament book of Hosea, you may pronounce it Hosea, but chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed. My people don't understand, and they are destroyed for lack of understanding, for lack of knowledge." Solomon, in his writing in the book of Proverbs, let's see, the third or fourth chapter, says, get understanding, get knowledge. And if it costs you everything, get it. Get understanding. It is more important to you than riches. It is more important to you than gold. It is more important to us as believers that we can maneuver through life through the clarity and leading of the Word of God and through the Scripture, so that we don't become a statistic or a notch on the enemy's belt while I've got them. We need clarity. We need wisdom. We need understanding. We need knowledge of Scripture. And who better to ask than the one who authored the Scripture? The Spirit of God. And it's not the amount that you read. You could read six chapters, or you could read one verse. And when the Spirit of God begins to reveal it to you, it is such an encouragement to you. It strengthens and fortifies your faith, and it lifts you up to another level. Like, wow, I never saw that in that verse. I never saw that in that passage. I never saw that in that parable. This book, when we ask the Holy Spirit to clarify or to teach us, He knows what this book is about. It is because of the Holy Spirit that it tells us that He inspired men to write down what we have, what we hold as the Word of God. And so we depend on Him. The Bible says in Hebrews that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is anointed of God. And all Scripture has purpose. All Scripture has meaning. And it's advantageous to us to get as much meaning, to get as much knowledge, to get as much understanding as we can. Because we are living in dark days. And I believe that they're going to get darker. There are countries who do not have this book as readily available to them as we have today. We have how many different translations of the Bible? We have five or six translations at home. Do we ever pick them up and read them? There are people in the underground church around the world that long just for a page out of this book. And churches circulate those pages. They gather in shelters, in groups, to look and to read and to devour the work of God, to get understanding, to get knowledge, to get encouragement. So I encourage you to spend time in the Word of God. And so we see God saw the light. It was good. He separated them. And as God separated light from darkness, as a child of God, as a born-again believer, you and I, we have been moved from death into life, and we have been moved from darkness into light, into the light of the Word of God, into the life of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13 says, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves." But God continued creating. And we know the creation that God did. And then He created man, and He put man into the Garden of Eden, paradise, so to speak. And God gave them a word. You can do eat anything, but don't do this. Don't eat of that one tree. Life was good. Life was good for Adam and Eve. As you go into chapter 3 of Genesis, there is the story takes a turn. The prince of darkness came to Eve, came to Adam and Eve, and said, did God really say? Did God really say this? Did God really say that? I don't know if you've ever experienced that. We get into the Word of God. We see a scripture. We get clarity. We get understanding of it. And then we may hear, is that what that really says? Is that verse for you? Is that you may not deserve that. Maybe you're not worthy of that. But that, my dear friends, this morning is a lie from the pit of hell. As a child of God, the Word of God and the promises of God are yours. And it's whether you believe them or not, whether you want to appropriate them or not, that is up to you. It is up to me. But when the enemy begins to cause doubt or confusion in our minds, well, is that what that verse really means? Does that verse really mean that Jesus is the only way to the Father? That's what that verse means. I don't care how man interprets that verse when he says, well, yeah, Jesus is one of the ways. No, the Bible says he's the only way to the Father. So we have to believe that. We have to counter what the enemy says to us, what he may whisper in your ear or my ear. We have to yell back at him. It is written. This is what the Word of God says. This is what the Word of God declares. And so we see that. And man fell for that very subtle, very sly lie that the enemy spoke into them. But we see here, this is not the end of that story. This is one of those but God. I love those but God moments. I don't know if you've ever had them or not. It looks like you're at wit's end, but God. You've been given a bad report, but God. I don't know. I don't see how anything could come out of anything good could come out of this situation, but God. You see, God is with us. God is with you. God is with me. God knows every trial, every test, every temptation, every hardship, every circumstance that you will ever face. And what he wants us to do is trust him. It may look bleak, it may look dark, it may look impossible, but God is there. God is with you. God is for you. And if God is for you, if God is for me, who can be against you? And if God is for you, what does it matter who's against you? I heard Tommy Tenney say years ago, talking about the story of Esther. He said, if the king likes you, it doesn't matter who don't like you. If the king likes you, it doesn't matter who don't like you. We have an enemy that's out to destroy, but we serve a loving and living God that is there for us. It may look bad. It may look terrible, but God. Many examples in the scripture are that way. The three Hebrews, Daniel, situation after situation, individual after individual. It looked bleak for them, but God. Yeah, he was thrown into the lion's den, but God was there. The three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace, but God was there. He was there. It even got the king's attention. He got up and he looked. Did we not throw three in there? There's a fourth one in there, and he looks like the Son of God. But God is for you. God is not against you. There are some foundational truths back in the passage of Scripture that we read. And it's the very fact is that Jesus Christ was from the beginning. He is the timeless one. He is the eternal one. Isaiah 9:6 says, his name shall be called Everlasting Father. The eternal one, the timeless. He has no beginning, has no end. He's the first and last. He's the Alpha, the Omega. Jesus Christ always was. He always will be. And Jesus was the creator of all things. Nothing was made, we read, nothing was made that was not made by him. His handprints were on everything. His handprint was on the creation of man. He formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Thank God for the physical breath of life. Can you imagine all the lives that have been snuffed out? And we call it health, women's health. 70 million. But we have the breath of life breathed into us. And what it was like when he breathed the breath of spiritual life in you. When that eternal part of you became alive that was laid dormant for however long. But when he breathed the breath of the Spirit of God into us, it became alive. It became active. He breathed the breath of life. That Jesus is a source of life. And his life was the light to men. Jesus' life was an exact representation of God the Father. He was told that in John 14. Philip said, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient for us. But Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Hebrews 1 tells us that he is the express image of God. He is the exact representation of God. When you look into the mirror, what do you see? You. You see an exact image of you. When we look into the face of Jesus, we see an exact image of God, of the Father. That's what he was saying. Jesus was light to man, and his life was a light to all people. Jesus, the light and life, he came into darkness. He came into his creation, and his creation did not recognize him. His creation did not recognize him. I pray that we never miss the presence of God. I pray that. I pray that we are not so occupied or preoccupied by things, by stuff, that we miss the presence of God. And I told the first service this morning that, and I wasn't going to share that, but as I've been praying about this message, and reading over it and praying about it, that the Lord impressed upon me that we can't miss his presence. We can't miss his presence. I believe that there are divine appointments by God. I believe that there are times, places, and situations that God has set in order. And God will show up. God will be here to do things. And we cannot miss him as he passes by. If you remember the story of the disciples that Jesus sent them on to the other side. And they get caught in a tremendous storm. And Jesus came walking to them. And the Bible is very clear that it says that Jesus would have kept on gone. Except that they cried out to him. And I'm going to tell you, as exact as I told the first service, he is here this morning. Don't miss him. Don't miss a divine time. Don't miss your divine appointment this morning. If God is speaking to you, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, it's your time. Don't miss it. Don't let this opportunity go for whatever. Well, I got to be somewhere. Well, what would you rather do? Be late for that or have a visitation with God himself? Don't miss him. He came into the world. He didn't recognize him. The world tried to extinguish it. Remember what King Herod did when he heard about another king? Every boy child, 2 years and younger, do away with him. They tried to conquer. They tried to put out the light. But the flip side of that is in 1 John 3. It says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to destroy the works of the devil. Among other issues, among other reasons, among other purposes that Jesus came. He came to preach the gospel. He came to do, be an example of God the Father. But he came to destroy the works of the devil. And he's still doing that. He is still doing that. We have to believe that. We have to stand on that. One of the goals of the enemy is to keep people in spiritual darkness. To keep them spiritually blind to the truth, to the knowledge of the truth, to the understanding of the truth of the Word of God. He wants to keep people blinded to the fact that we are sinners in need of a Savior. That's why Jesus came. Or he keeps us blind as followers of Jesus, as believers of Jesus Christ, that things in the Bible that is not for us. But contrary to that, the Bible says that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. The Bible tells us that in Christ Jesus, we have been given every spiritual blessing. Not just one or two. The Bible says every spiritual blessings are yours and mine through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. That's how God looks. That's what God wants to do to us, through His Son. In Matthew chapter 5, we refer to that as the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus begins in chapter 5 of blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, blessed are the pure in heart, and he keeps going. But it gets down into where he says, you are the salt of the earth. He's talking to us. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. You are the salt of the earth. We know that salt is a preservative. We also know that salt is a flavoring. It gives flavor to things, to food. I've been told that I'm a salt addict. Martha says, why are you putting salt on that? You didn't even taste it. It needs salt. It adds flavor. We as believers, wherever we are, at work, wherever we may find ourselves, we can make a difference. We can be a positive influence in a dark world. In darkness, we can let our light shine so that people may see. And the Bible says, always be ready to give a word of the hope that is within you. People see you. People watch you. They see how you react to certain things. How you respond to this, to that. Do we model Christ? Do we allow the light to shine that others may see? That others may see Christ in us. And in verses 14 and 16, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. There is darkness all around us. If you can't read much of anything, you can't hear much of it until you hear of things that are going on. Wickedness. Things that are immoral. Things that are truly anti-God. We're living in a time of darkness, and it seems to be growing. But we are the people of light. We can't get caught up into that. We're here, yes. But we are to be a positive influence wherever we are. You can make a difference. We're told in verse 8 of John here that John was not the light, but he was a witness to the light. We are not the light, no, but we are carriers. We are vessels of the light, of the true light that people are looking for. And being a person, it says that you bring, being a light in the world, you are in a conspicuous place as individuals, as a church, as Antrim Church. We are in a conspicuous place. It's like a city on the hill, he says. The world is watching. People are looking. And you are conspicuous to people. The church, what do people see? What do people hear when they look and listen about Antrim Church? What do they see? What do they hear when they look at you? When they look at me? We are light. We are to be a positive thing. When they see us, when they see Antrim, do they see a church, a place where there's forgiveness, where there's unity, where there's truly a love for God and love for one another? As the Bible says, we cannot allow things to divide us. Divide and conquer is a lie from the enemy of hell. He tells us that. So he cannot allow division. Paul addressed that in several churches throughout the New Testament. Divisions of people because of different reasons. I want to follow him. I want to follow him. We've got to follow Christ. We've got to follow the Word of God. That is our true compass. We are individuals. We are the body of Christ. And we, as people look to us, as people look at me, as people look at you, as people look to Antrim, and they recognize that they have a need, and they come to us because of the light drawing them. It's like the lighthouse. Ships look for that when during storms. It guided them to a safe harbor. We are a light. We are city on a hill. We are our lives. Our church is a light for people to come and who have problems and recognize their problems, but they find a safe haven when they come in the doors and they find something that they're longing for, something that they're hungry for. That something, that someone is Jesus Christ and life in him and forgiveness in him. He's light in the darkness. It's the gospel we preach. There is only one gospel. There's only one gospel. There are those today trying to pervert it. There's people today trying to water it down. There are people trying today to interpret it differently. Well, it doesn't say that. But our attitude has to be like the Apostle Paul. In Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and then the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of this book. I'm not ashamed of what the book says. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus, because it's the good news that sets people free. It's the good news that encourages people. That's what Jesus said he did. I am not ashamed of this gospel. So, dear people, this morning, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. My word to you this morning is, let's let it shine. Let's be a positive influence with ourselves, with the church, in a time of darkness, in a time of wickedness. We don't know what's ahead. None of us have a clue as to what's ahead. But when you look at it, you think, is it going to get worse? Some people say yes. Some people say it's going to get better. You know what? God knows. But I have to trust him. And I'm counting on him. And so he's counting on us. Let your light so shine so people can see you in me. You're the light of the world. Let's let it shine for others to see. Father, we are so grateful this morning for your presence, for your goodness, for your love, your compassion, for your forgiveness. And Father, I just pray in these closing moments, the Holy Spirit would truly speak to us. Speak to that one that may be hurting, that today's their day. They just need to step out and come to you. We ask this for your glory and your honor alone. In Jesus' name, amen.